Hello and welcome to the show. If you're enjoying it and want an ad-free experience, consider signing up for the Patreon, patreon.com/the101podcast. Get early access and exclusive content on there as well for less than the cost of a cup of coffee. Links to ways of supporting the show are in the description. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the One on One Podcast with your host, Juan Ayala.
Back to another episode of the 101 podcast. I'm your host, as always. Make sure to follow the show on social media at the 101 podcast on pretty much any social media platform, YouTube, anywhere. TJOJP.com is the website. You can get a copy of the Occultus Mundi, the Homunculus Owner's Manual, all that good stuff is on there. TJOJP.com, patreon.com/101podcast, and shout out to all the YouTube members as well that signed up on there, and you get exclusive episodes, early access, ad free, all that good stuff. And make sure to follow me on Twitch, streaming every Tuesday night, twitch.tv/101podcast. And that's pretty much it. Today we have Ashley Batico with us, and she sent me an interesting email that caught my attention after listening to my episode with Abby. So shout out to Abby and welcome to the show, Ashley.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, I know you have something going on. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your business here, and plug your link so people can go find you before we start.
Yeah, my my Instagram is AG Batico, BATYKO. You can also find me on TikTok. It's Ashley Batico, ASHLEYBATYKO. And that's kind of where all my links are. I'm going to be starting to teach a dream course class that covers, you know, how to do dream programming, how to interpret your dreams, things like that. And then also some of this stuff that we might be talking about, astral projection, lucid dreaming, and just all of those types of things.
I'll post the links in the description. And this is something that, right, because I did finish Monroe's Journeys Out of the Body, I believe was the name of the book. I got an audio book. I got all three books, I believe, as a series. I haven't started the second and the third one. But this motif, this idea of alternate realms, alternate dimensions, is very prominent in any major world religion. You have the concept sometimes of the light body or something along those lines. And I recently did a presentation on Jesus as the homunculus, which, again, that sounds super blasphemous and heretical, but artificial messiahs. And I put together a presentation on all the different messiahs or messianic figures throughout all these major world religions that were born from a shaft of light or from a shooting star, you know, after their mother looked at a shooting star, all this other stuff. So usually in a lot of these religions, there is the concept of going to another realm after this. Now, I've never, only paranormal or the closest I've gotten to, I think I had a waking dream one time or something happened to me where I sat up on the side of the bed, and again, it could have been that I laid back down and then I woke up again, who knows, but I, you know, stood up and then I stood up again and I was like, what the hell was that? And then the other thing that I had for a while, which I haven't had in a long time, now probably a year now, but I used to have it consistently. For, you know, I'm 30, for at least 28 of my, you know, or as long as I could remember, I'd have sleep paralysis. But I'd have sleep paralysis, and it was only the anxiety and the feeling that something was coming, but I never saw like any shadow people or anything like that. And that's as far as I've gotten as far as like astral projection, because you have people who say that they can astral project. And I mean, the whole Monroe thing.
Yeah. And I do think that that is like a step towards astral projection, because in the sleep paralysis state, you are not in your fully like in your physical body, or you're going back into it or leaving it. And that sometimes causes that to happen. Like you'll get like so your mind, your physical body's mind will wake up before your body is like fully integrated. And then that's why like the fear thing happens. Or that's at least what I've read before about that for sleep paralysis. And I used to get that a lot too. I haven't had it in a really long time, but in my early 20s, I used to get that a lot. But I had a really weird sleep schedule, and I was staying up like really late and drinking and doing things that I probably shouldn't have been doing. So that probably caused the problem with that, is what I'm thinking. But
do you currently practice anything? So I know you do dream coaching. So is that some sort of manifestation to where you line your dreams up and whatever you do in your dream, it radiates out into reality? Is it like reality transurfing kind of sort of in a way? What does that mean exactly?
Oh yeah. So for me, I do like practice doing like a dream program before I go to bed, which is kind of just like setting an intention for your dreams. So if there's something you want answers to, or something that like a problem that you want to solve, or just any type of information you want to get, or like you can even ask your dreams, that's what I call it, to about like an origin of a certain emotional pattern that you have or something like that. There's so many different things you can ask your dreams about. So you just write it down in your dream journal before you go to sleep. Or you could also just think about it like a few times before you go to sleep. And then when you wake up and you write your dreams down, you can like interpret your dreams through that lens. And it kind of guides your dreams in a sense.
Journaling, would you say that, or is it the writing that makes it a thing, that makes it the magic or gives it the power, or is it the dream that gives it the power, or is it a combination of both? Because one of my favorite people in history, or Carl Jung, which he was using, you know, this concept of active imagination, which is essentially a form of daydreaming. So you're not really going, you know, at night. Maybe it's a different school of this dream or reality transurfing, where you're able to go within yourself. And the concept of journaling is very important when it comes to Jungian psychology, I guess you could call it, or alchemy, where essentially you are writing what I would consider a grimoire, but it's all based off of your psyche. I mean, your most deepest, darkest things, and a lot of things do manifest. I mean, if you ever read Carl Jung, you know, the Red Book or any of his works, it's some dark, dark stuff. It's not.
Yeah. And I've read his, one of his part of his book on dreams, that he wrote about dreaming and dreams. And I do think that part of it is writing it down, because that kind of sets the intention deeper, I think, than just saying it in your mind before going to bed. I was taught to like write it down, because I did take a class on this, and that's where I decided, oh, I would love to teach this too. So I learned how to do this from a friend of mine, and she teaches a class on this also. And she did teach us to write it down, which I believe is because it's stronger that way. And it stays in your unconscious longer, I think.
Yeah, and I've always said that writing, I mean, letters, right? Grammar comes from grimoire. There is something about writing these words down. Any major world religion is just writing, essentially. It's all just stories and books that were written a long time ago, and people worship the stories in this, you know, in these books. Now, for some people, that's blasphemous, but let's be real. What else is holding these religions together if not just these books that have been translated time and time again?
Right, and we don't know necessarily all the origins of it either, because our history only goes back to a certain time period that we don't even know if that's the real time period or not.
Yeah, the Epic of Gilgamesh essentially is the oldest piece of literature that we know of. I mean, that's that's according to mainstream history now.
Yeah.
If you want to believe that or not.
I don't believe that, yeah.
You know, maybe they have some older stuff hiding under the Vatican or somewhere, you know, that we don't know about. But yeah, you know, that's something that for me, even when I'm taking notes or something, and it's less efficient, and I think that they're taking us away from writing, right?
Yeah.
Because if you look at the computers, nobody knows how to, and I'll be honest, sometimes I'll spell something incorrectly because I know my phone's gonna fix it. So it kind of sounds like this, even though I know it's wrong, you know, like regular, what, you know, whatever word. And it's like they're taking that away, and it puts it in this other class too, where I've been, one of my favorite authors and esotericist is Frances Yates, and she wrote a lot about Giordano Bruno and the art of memory. You know, she wrote about John Dee and, you know, Elizabethan era stuff. And one of the things that they believed back then was that it was very powerful, and we're in this now. Nobody memorizes phone numbers anymore. Nobody memorizes how to get to someplace. We're always, no matter how, it feels like no matter how many times you go somewhere, you still have to pop on the GPS for whatever reason. And there's power in remembering. And back then, they believed that remembering things was one of the highest forms of magic that there was. And there's not that anymore. We don't have that anymore. You know, I don't remember people's birthdays anymore, right? And if you're not paying attention to Facebook, you're going to miss the birthday for whatever reason, right?
Yeah, so, I remember all of the phone numbers, like, from when I was a kid. But ever since I got a cell phone, then I don't remember anything past then, you know, for the phone numbers, which is kind of sad. I agree with you that even reading cursive, like writing cursive, I'm like, I feel like they took that away, not because maybe even the writing cursive part, but also just being able to read all of our historical documents that are written in cursive.
Yeah, and I ran into that. I was translating some stuff. And the one part that I wanted to read out of this text, of course, was written in cursive.
Yeah.
So the AI can only pick up the printed letters. So I got screwed on. And then the part that I wanted to read the most, it was from like the first page of it to the last page of it, was all handwritten. So I got screwed there.
Oh no. And they used to do such beautiful writing too. Like they would, the first letter of, you know, every page would be like super big and have all of this like intricate details. And
those are demonic devices. Those are for remembering. So the more intricate the letter was, it was a sort of memory device. So that's why they would do it that way.
And, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. All the decorations and the borders of the pages, that's all memory techniques that they would use to remember.
That makes sense why it's harder sometimes to remember books now that you read, because everything just looks the same.
Yeah, yeah. And it's all, again, on a tablet, I'll read on a tablet too. I have a Kindle paper, whatever it is, but there's nothing like picking up a physical book, the experience of flipping through an actual book. And we know nowadays, especially too, it's happened to me, where I've had a book and then I have the PDF version and it's completely different. The PDF version is completely different than the printed. Now, is that Mandela effect? Is that them switching reality real time? I don't know, but
yeah, I don't know either, but it's like I do like having all, I mostly read from books still. I don't and really like reading on a tablet because I feel like I don't really understand everything when I read it that way. Like I still get it, but it's like it, I don't know, it just doesn't feel the same to me.
Yeah, and the blue light messes with you too. So
yeah, and electronics is another thing for like when you're dreaming or going to sleep, it kind of does like the signals like Wi-Fi and stuff like that kind of affects like the quality of your dreams a little bit.
So talk to us a little bit about, right, you listened to my episode with Abby.
Yeah.
And then you had a really interesting take where you tell us a story. I don't want to spoil it for people that, because I did read okay. some of it on a stream that I was doing. And because we've discussed, me and Joe Roop, shout out to Joe Roop from the fringe.fm. He's super big into astral projection and he's usually on the streams with me Tuesday nights. And oh, cool. We've discussed, we were playing, or I was playing Dante's Inferno. And we know, right, again, this concept of going to other realms, other places. And we got into a heavy, heavy discussion into Monroe's book, Journeys Out of the Body. And then I was like, hey, I have, you know, this lady who wrote to me and emailed me. And then I told him what it was. But for those that didn't check that out on twitch.tv/101podcast, you missed out. So let us know, Ashley.
Yeah, you missed it.
You missed it. But, yeah.
yeah. So my experience was I was reading Journeys Out of the Body like you. I think I was reading on chapter one or something. And then, you know, I was tired. This was at night. So I fell asleep. And then that night, what I had thought was woken up and gotten out of bed. And I, when I had gotten up, I like kind of rolled out of bed and my body partially fell through the floor. So that's kind of when I knew that I was having an out of body experience that I could remember. And then I like flew up into the corner of the room. And I was like hovering there and I saw my body lying, like sleeping on the bed, lying, like being there still. It kind of looks like you're dead in a way. It's kind of weird because it's like your soul's not really, I mean, part of your soul's in there because you're still attached to it, but it's like you're not in there. So it looks kind of weird. And also the quality of what you can see is kind of not the same in on this, if you're like on, in the physical 3D reality in your astral body. And then I think I got scared by saying my body, because then I ended up going back into my body and I like accidentally kicked one of my dogs on the way back into my body. And then later that night I had a dream, but I kind of think it might be, I might've been in the astral realm after like thinking about it more, about meeting Robert Monroe. He was teaching at an astral school there. There was a bunch of people there learning astral projection from him. And, I met with him and I told him about what happened and he seemed like happy with me that I was able to get out of my body. And so to me, that seemed like I might've been there before, but didn't remember it. And, you know, he told me not to kick the dog next time, which I think was like a joke. And like, from what I can tell from his books and stuff, he does seem funny. So it kind of matches his personality in a way. And he was just very kind and warm. And it was just a really cool experience to get to meet him in that way. And then I woke up and I was like, what happened? And I remembered everything. I also found out that my dog ended up going into the other room at night, like when this would have been happening. So that was kind of like a verification to me that what I thought happened, it happened. because someone was sleeping in the other room, and she said, Winston, that's my dog's name, came in there at this time. Like, I hope everything was okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. At the time that you saw him go was the time that he did go, so...
Yeah.
And maybe so, he sensed something, I mean, because dogs have sort of like a sixth sense, I mean...
Yeah, and like, I had accidentally, like, I thought kicked him, but it could have just been, like, me going near him, and he sensed it, too. Like, I don't know what exactly happened there, but... Either way, it was around that same time where this would have been happening. So that, to me, was like a verification from an outside source besides just me that something was going on.
Yeah, and I think that there is a... Because, again, I've never done it. And I think I haven't been able to astral project because I've done the hemisync stuff.
Uh-huh.
I've done the first tape, and essentially, I mean, it's just meditation is all it is. You know, you start to hum, you start to get into a relaxed state. And I think that the main reason why I've never been able to astral project is because I like to sleep on my side or on my stomach. And yeah. According to sleep yoga, I mean, that's a thing, you know, depending on what position you're in, it'll affect your dreams. Or it'll affect if you can do these sort of things. And one of the things that I've done before that has helped me, and I had a crazy dream. I wish I knew what it was, but it just felt so vivid, my dream. And it was Tuesday night. I was playing Black Myth Wukong, and there was a really, really bizarre, interesting cutscene. And this game is based on the journey to the West, right? On Chinese mythology.
Okay.
And it's got a lot of beautiful art in the game. And it was the closing of this chapter, and it was really, really weird. Even to the point, because Joe was there with me, he's like, "Hey, dude, I gotta go to sleep after this. I'm gonna have some really weird dreams." And I ended up having like a bizarre dream. And I texted him the next day, and I was like, "Dude, my dreams last night were crazy." He was telling me, because I recently had a dream where my teeth were falling out.
And I never I don't had that. Like those.
Those feel yeah. So vivid. Like it was. Yeah. I thought it was like for real. I touched my tooth and it went in, you know.
And I'm just like, I've had those a few times, and I always think that when I wake up, I'm like, my teeth fell out. I'm screwed. I don't have money to fix them. Like, what's going to happen? And then I'm like, oh, my teeth are still there. But it does feel really real. And I think it's just because it's so traumatic. And it's like probably a animal instinct or like something that's more base in our feelings, that when that happens, it's like super traumatic for us.
Because it's part of our identity too. I mean,
yeah,
people see our teeth. You know, if you smile a lot when you talk, whatever, people are more prone to see your teeth, even, you know, before your eyes. I don't know. You know, to be honest, I don't know what part of a person I look at for. I think I look at a person's eyes when I meet them. And sometimes I'll look at their mouth when they're talking.
Yeah.
And I don't really make that much eye contact. Every now and again I will. But yeah, I find myself looking at the general vicinity of the face most of the time. But it feels like, right, so I'm watching this weird anime cutscene type of thing with this weird creature thing, and it's about a parable or a story about the greed of human nature and how far people are willing to go, right? So, and this has happened to me before too. Okay. when I'm looking at, if I'm reading about alchemy or something and I'm looking at alchemical plates, it feels like that was part of the alchemical experience too as an alchemist. And it feels like a lot of the stuff that they drew, it was maybe was stuff that they saw in their dreams, because the way I've heard it put before, it's like, well, imagine these guys staring at a flask all day, the things that they would probably start to hallucinate or imagine as they're staring at this flask. And if they're following any school of alchemy, Paracelsian, Flammarion, or whatever, you know, whatever school, wet path, dry path, they're doing essentially the same steps. and they're getting the same results, and they're all going to interpret those results differently, but kind of sort of similar. So that's why a lot of this alchemical art sometimes lines up. And I've looked at alchemical plates, you know, before going to bed at night, and it feels like it opens up that either that third eye or something in the subconscious, to where when you go to sleep, it, you know, it takes you somewhere. And I think that, again, back again to this concept of mnemonic devices, well, they use plates to contemplate on, right? And they would, you know, they would go essentially into the plates, or the Rosicrucians would go into the biblical text, you know, like,
yeah, like you can see in your mind, like looking at symbols or looking at more decorative texts, or what you were saying, the plates opens up like a, I don't want to say portal, but it kind of does open up like a portal to another consciousness experience or level that you wouldn't normally like have access to.
Did you learn anything from Monroe? And I'm wondering, he died of pneumonia, I think it was.
Yeah, and I think so. I think that's what I've read about him. And his wife died before him, and I think he was just really sad about her passing on too. But I don't think that's why he died. But I learned a lot about what he defines like as the, it was helpful to read his books because he talks about like the different levels of like the astral realm and where he goes to. And I kind of like that he talks about it in a more like scientific way, or he's trying to do experiments and stuff like that. But it's also like so hard to do it in a scientific way because there's no way to like
prove.
There's no way to prove it to other people, you know? And that's why like when in the Gateway Experience, like when you listen to the tapes, there's a mantra that you kind of say in your mind while you're doing it. Part of the first part is you are more than your physical body, because you really have to like believe in that for this to work, like for mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least for you to do it intentionally. I think it can still happen to you, like, because when this out of body experience happened to me, I wasn't trying to like necessarily go out of my body at that time. But I had been intentionally like thinking about it, and I was thinking, oh, that would be cool if I could see what it was like, you know? So I think that that set an intention for it to end up happening for me.
Yeah. And that's why the whole thing with writing things down and journaling, I think that there's a combination of things going on, because the mind, I believe, I mean, we've been led to believe that it's not, but I think that even we can clump up René Descartes on there, maybe perhaps a deeper meaning to the, I think, therefore I am, you know, I think, therefore I am a creator or a manifester or anything else, because that was one of the things that they were really debating as to, you know, this mind-body dualism aspect. Was, is the body apart from the mind? Well, you know, according to Descartes, he believed that it was, right? That whatever this essence is, or this soul, is something that is non-local, right? So therefore you're able to transfer it freely. And Monroe in the books talks about possessing essentially somebody else in this other dimension from time to time. And he is able to see the guy's life as every time he would possess him or enter his body or borrow his body, he would see he was at different parts of his life.
Yeah, and he was worried he was like somehow messing up his life.
Yeah.
And I would be worried about that too. Like, I wouldn't necessarily want to be doing that, because I would be like, I don't know this person's life, and what if I say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, and it's set some sort of string of events that ruins their life. Yeah.
Because if you think about it, right, so let's say that there is something to this dream thing, because you have people who are quick to disregard, oh, your dreams are just your brain unloading information at night. There's nothing more to it. blah blah blah. Like, you know, it's what it is, what it is. We know that certain fabrics, you know, hold electrical charges, right? Is there a reason why they make bed sheet covers of a certain linen and not the other? Or, you know, how they say certain clothing is better than other clothing because it, in my opinion, it's all about charges and, you know, the negative and positive. And it's like, think about all the stuff that they put in beds, maybe, perhaps, even in the house. And we know that we're in this Wi-Fi soup at all times, which I'm sure is not good. What if that acts as a sort of prison for your light body to not be able to escape? Because,
yeah,
I mean,
it is like the Matrix, kind of.
It can't be good. I mean, it can't be good for you to be in these frequencies at all times. And I mean, you can feel when a TV is on in another room. And then you shut the, you know, you shut the screen off. You can feel that the white noise, you know, like when it's like, you know, when your screen is black, but you know it's on. It's like that sort of thing. Like, that can't be good.
It has its own like energy and frequency, and maybe we don't notice it all the time. But I think when you're like trying to sleep, that you notice things like that more because you're trying to get relaxed, and you're just more prone to noticing every little thing that's going on around you. And I don't think that's good for sleeping or dreaming.
Did you, so I don't know if I asked you already, did you learn anything from Robert while you were there? Did he tell you anything else that you brought back that would be of value at all?
Yeah, so
other than don't kick the dog?
Yeah. I don't know why I remembered that part. No, we were talking. It just, sometimes when I have dreams, and I've had this happen before where I had this other dream where I actually do think it was also an astral travel experience, but I didn't see myself go out of my body, so I didn't really know I was doing this before. I was learning to teleport in my dream. It was kind of like Star Wars. And these people there that I couldn't see, which, from reading Monroe's books, it could be like maybe a spirit guide, or it could be your higher self, or it's just someone, some sort of being or entity or thing there that's like protecting you, that you don't see as you, at least. It could be your higher self, but you wouldn't identify that as you at first, probably. I was just being shown how to teleport, basically, and there was kind of like the bad guys were there. They were shielding me from them so that they couldn't see me. And they were like taking me around this European city. And we were saying like the bad guys trying to recruit people for their side to like take down, you know, people probably that believe in Jesus and that are like, you know, of the lighter side of things. And it was kind of an interesting experience to even see that, but I didn't get to see like they were telling me a lot of stuff and you can only remember like a certain portion of it. Yeah.
It's like oh, thank God you're here. We've been trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty. And it's just like, imagine. I wonder if those people have you seen Dream Scenario by Nick Cage?
No, but now I have to see that. Dream Scenario.
All right. So
sorry.
When you get off this show, I need you to go see that. Like, I need you to.
I'm writing this down.
It's online. Here we'll find where it is online. So Dream Scenario. It's. I'm pretty sure it's already uploading. Where to watch? So you can watch it on HBO Max, Hulu, and if you don't have any of those, I'll send you a link to where you can watch it.
I have HBO Max. All right, so I can watch it on there.
Watch it. It's
okay.
It's gonna be right up your alley with dreams and everything. But I wonder if those people have, you know, agents in this astral realm, almost like how Monroe was talking about that he saw.
Yeah, he saw a Secret Service.
Secret Service, and I believe. Was it? Oh, never mind. It was Colonel Sanders of KFC that was, because we know that Monroe was involved in secret government programs. We have the Gateway Experience, and allegedly the government was, they dropped that because they didn't find anything. Now, I believe that that's just a cover story, and I think that there's still research like this going on as to how they can weaponize this sort of stuff. And it ties into Monroe, who wrote about this. I mean, you know, Journeys Out of the Body was written a while ago.
Yeah, it was written in the 70s, I believe. Or that's when it was published.
It was published in 1971. So imagine he wrote it before that. And he was talking about one of his experiences was going to see the president. But he couldn't because he was guarded. I think that's a real thing, like, that they guard these people in this other realm because...
Yeah.
You can put or influence them through their dreams. And I mean, I think that there is a...
And they guard places too. My friend that teaches the Dream Course, she actually has a podcast. It's called Rogue Ways, and her name's Lindsay Sharman. And she's kind of involved in this community. Is she on the Fringe too? I don't know if she's been on that podcast before,
She's got glasses.
She does have glasses, yeah.
Yeah, I think I know who she is.
And she's the one that taught me about all of this. So she knows a lot about this as well. And she told me
that... Yeah, she's on the Fringe FM. She knows Joe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she mentioned that she had seen them guard... Like, she's seen... Oops, sorry. She's seen this in the astral realm where you... where there's like guards for places and stuff as well.
Yeah, and the fact that one of the things that affects this, right? So you're saying before you go to bed, you know, set an intention, maybe repeat something before you're falling asleep, and probably lay on your back will probably help, because you have to do that peeling out thing. And I always fall asleep before, you know, I'll try and fall asleep as I'm feeling, and I'm able to get out of sleep paralysis like that, where you kind of jerk. And whenever I've been in sleep paralysis, for some reason, it's always when my head is a little bit like over the pillow on the, you know, on the negative side of it, you know, like falling over. So I don't know if it's maybe the lack of oxygen from like your throat or something, but I'm always able to come back. And I had it so frequently that I was able to peel myself back in. Usually it starts with like trying to move something where you can't. It's the craziest thing where you can't.
Yeah.
It's really scary. Yeah, it's scary. You can't move your body and you're just like. And sometimes you make like a noise. Like I hear myself like trying to. And I peel myself back into my body. And I've had nights where it's happened to me 2 or 3 times. You know.
Yeah. And so, you didn't see like any shadow things or anything like that.
When you open your eyes, that you notice that you're like, oh, okay, I can't move, and you're just laying there like a potato. It's like the worst anxiety. You're going to die. You are going to die. And if you don't move quickly, then something's going to get you. But I never see, you know, people talk about having the hag on their chest or seeing the shadow people in the corner.
Yeah, because I used to see the shadow people when I got sleep paralysis. And it was actually, this is a random story, and but it's kind of weird. Like, where I went to college, there was a process church type, I don't know if it's like it was like a house where they like would do rituals or something like that across the street.
What kind of church?
It's called the Process Church, and they were like involved with Scientology. Oh. Yeah. And it's like a Satanist thing. They were kind of connected to Scientology, and also, Manson was kind of seen going in and out of these places too.
The Process Church of the Final Judgment?
Yeah.
Never heard about this before, by the way.
Oh, there's a really good researcher on this, on the Process Church, its connections to Scientology, and It's their connections to Manson and the Best Friends Animal Society. Her name's Dana, and her channel's Rotting Jewels. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, I've heard about her before.
Yeah, she does a lot of good research on this. This is how I found out about this to begin with. And they had a house. I was reading this book. It's called The Family by Ed Sanders. And I found the address of where across the street where I used to live. And they had a ritual, like where they, a house where they would do rituals right across the street where I lived. My friend said that she woke up one night and she saw like an entity in our room that was evil. I mean, she described it as evil in our room when she was sleeping. And then she like fully woke up and it was gone. Then that's when I started getting the sleep paralysis stuff. And I did see like shadow people and stuff. So I don't know if it's because we just happened to be in a place that was, there's a lot of occult activities that used to happen there, probably like sacrifices and things like that. And so that energy is just still hanging around there. I mean, because there was, we don't have those experiences like normally. So there was no other kind of reason I saw for her to see something in our room and then me to be having all these sleep paralysis problems.
I wonder how much paranormal activity happens at the Diddy residence.
Oh my God.
You know, with there's probably a lot of bodily fluids on the ground in that place, and a lot of baby oil apparently is what they found, thousands of bottles of lube.
I don't even get what the baby oil thing is. Like, is there drugs in there? Because I'm like, what is that? And people, was it, who was the baby, like the person that had Diddy's baby, she like ended up dead or something.
What?
I forgot her name. I'm sorry. I don't remember her name. Maybe it would come to me if I heard it, but
Kim Porter?
Yeah. Yeah, that's her. She ended up dead. And there's this person that I,
from pneumonia too.
Yeah. And that's interesting. And she, there's someone that channels like, she's a medium and she sometimes is able to talk to spirits that I've seen her on. She has like a YouTube channel on the, on this.
It's legit. And, you know, it's on YouTube. Yeah.
Well, no, it's not, but I kind of can tell when people are like, I just kind of know when people are more likely to be
bullshitting,
at least somewhat telling the truth and then, or lying, you know? And I feel like that comes with your intuition and you being able to connect to yourself. And I do think having like these out-of-body experiences and spiritual experiences has made that stronger in me. But anyway, she has that. She does that. And she talked to her and she said that Kim Porter died from some sort of drug that they gave her in her, she had asthma or something. She had something where she had to use a nasal spray and they put something in her nasal spray and that's how she died.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Suppose. Yeah. That's the, I don't think her, the medium's account would hold up in court at all. If they're like,
no, it wouldn't.
There was a TikTok psychic that I believe went to court recently and was talking about, I think, a company CEO and how she had murdered somebody. And she got sued for defamation and slander or something. And she just wouldn't give up until the very, very end. And I think she went to jail or something. But, yeah, I think
I just don't know how you can get in trouble for that, though, because you're not saying that you for sure know this happened. It's just like you're talking to these spirits and that's what they're telling you. So law doesn't govern that.
Speaking of which, I mean, back then during the witch trials, there was a lot of about that. It was like, oh well, I saw her familiar sucking on her third nipple, you know, because they thought that witches had a third nipple, and that's what the, you know, where the witch's pimple comes from, or the wart. They believe that they would feed their familiars with that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so the familiars would suckle on their pimple or so they would strip these witches down and try and look for a third nipple on their body. But a lot of the times it
that
was
doesn't seem legit.
Right. A lot of the time it was a lot of he said, she said, right? I mean, that's essentially what it was. And that wasn't too long ago to where it was very superstitious. Yeah. They're like, well, we're going to throw you with cinder, you know, with rocks tied to your ankles into the river. And if you float, you're a witch. And if you sink, you're a witch. And if you float, then you're innocent. It's like, what? You know, it was things like that.
Yeah. And everyone kind of went like, had mass psychosis at the same time, kind of about that type of thing.
They believed it was the was it ergot? The
oh yeah, the ergot. There was something about the crops were super wet or something that year, and everything got a lot of mold and ergot on it, and then they went crazy.
One's having a psychedelic experience.
Yeah.
So one of the things that interests me, right? So one of the main themes in all of this is state of mind, being in the correct state of mind to induce this experience. Now, one of the things that I've talked about on the show quite a bit and recently, and on that episode with Abby, was the skullfuck method, or the Pythagorean recollection to remember your dreams. Now, I've tried to astral project. I've never been successful in astral projecting. I would like to try it. And if I ever do succeed one day, I'm sure I'll talk about it.
Yeah.
And
well, a good way to try it too is like when you're not super tired, like doing it before you go to bed isn't the most ideal time because you're like too tired to keep yourself, your mind awake, basically.
Okay, I got you.
But I had a second out of body experience that like I saw myself go out of my body. I believe we all travel astrally like most of the time. We just don't remember it. Mm-hmm. And we don't remember going in and out of our body. And I mean, Robert Monroe talks about that too. And a lot of people have talked about that. But the second time I had this type of experience that I remembered, I had woken up at like 4 a.m, gotten up to go to the bathroom, like was up for a little bit and then fell back asleep. And I was trying to keep my mind awake and like relax my body. And that's when that happened. So I think there's something about waking up, but not being fully like waking yourself up basically, but then trying to relax again and having it still be somewhat dark out and not everyone's up. That is a good time to practice.
Being in a certain state of mind too is what. It sounded like it was raining for a second. I feel like when I had my UFO experience, the one UFO that I've seen in my life, and I know it was a UFO because number one, I wasn't alone. And also, I know that I don't know what it was. So therefore, it's a UAP or UFO, whatever it is. But I was going to be doing an episode with Mike McClellan. I think that's how you say it. I always mess up his name, his last name. He's the owl guy that talks about aliens being owls.
It was on the confessionals or something. And I think someone said he talked about how he had some weird experience. Yeah.
Just want to remind everyone, make sure to check out the show on Patreon, patreon.com/the101podcast. I constantly get emails. Oh, only one episode a week. Yeah, one episode a week for the public, but for as little as $5 a month, you can get up to two, sometimes three, sometimes one episode per day on the Patreon, as well as on the YouTube channel as a member for as little as $5. And there's also on the Patreon over 250 episodes only found on there. There's an extensive backlog of episodes. So check that out. For those interested, for those asking, make sure to follow the show on YouTube, Juan Juan Podcast. Also, Juan Juan Media. I am going live every Tuesday on there streaming. I also go live on twitch.tv/Juan Juan Podcast. So make sure to check me out on there Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern. And make sure to get your copy of the Occultus Mundi Homunculus Owner's Manual, all that good stuff at tjojp.com. You can pick up your copies there. or go over to the Ko-Fi. I'm on Facebook, Twitch, Kick, Rumble, all that good stuff. You know where to find it. And enjoy this episode.
After he knew that he was going to be interviewing him or going on his show or something like that.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that interview because it was the following day and we were outside. And then I was in that. I was like, man, tomorrow I got this alien guy. And it wasn't even me who saw it. It was my son that saw it. And my son was, I think, 5 at the time or 4 years old. And he was the one that saw it first. And he's like, Daddy, what's that? And then when we, you know, my wife looked up too. We're both looking at this thing like, what the hell is that? You know, like, what is even that? And it was, again, that's this
crazy
orange orb. It was the craziest thing. And then it was there 1 second. It probably took like 15 seconds, 20 seconds. And it was just passing along, just boom. And it just disappeared right into the distance. Can you hear that?
Oh, yeah, I heard that. Was that me or was that?
That's the Illuminati tapping in.
Oh my gosh. Or the aliens.
Yeah, that's the aliens tapping in right now. The there it goes again. Look at that. What the heck?
Yeah, I'm not trying to. I don't think I'm touching anything.
Well, I usually turn off my watch because of that, because it'll do it, but it's off right now. It's not on. And, they're still tapping in. If you can hear us, welcome to the 101 podcast. I'm your host, Juan. We're talking.
They know all this stuff already. Like, I mean, if they were studying the Gateway Experience, like, they probably, I mean, I believe you, what you're saying about how they're doing this stuff still. Like, they just said they didn't find anything.
Yes.
And I don't even know when they said they didn't find anything, because I read one of the CIA reports on it. Well, I've read a lot of most of the CIA stuff on this, but the one report that is pretty lengthy that goes into more detail about this stuff where you can understand more, it seems like they found like evidence that it could work and that there's like more scientific backing to the theories of how it works than they originally thought.
I mean, that's usually how it always goes. You know, how I tell people all the time, a lot of the stuff that these people, even at CERN, are messing with, in my opinion, it's the occult. But it's just these guys got, you know, they're essentially occultists with lab coats on, because they're messing with forces that they don't know what they are or how they are. And that's why, right, the observer effect, the double slit experiment, is a thing that happens, and they don't know why it happens. They don't know. They don't understand why it happens, because again, it's maybe you're interacting with some facet of God where it's in you know, it's so far above your mind that you can't comprehend it at all, right? And it's like, well, if you figure it out, you're gonna get a Nobel Peace Prize. And I think that the observer effect is one of those things that's super powerful, especially now when it comes to, right, all these things that people call psyops, right, with the whole Diddy thing. People are like, oh, that's a distraction. Well, everyone's tuning in on that. Everyone's looking at that. And these are things that have been said for many, many years. And now this apocalypse is happening of, like, it's proving a lot of these conspiracies right.
Yeah.
And it's like, what, you know, where do you, I think, are conspiracies 100% bullshit? Because I feel like a lot of them are bullshit, but then you have this one thing that proves a large chunk of them right. And it's like, how dark is it? Is it?
I know, that's what I do feel like they're all, I think people like in power know how much power and control they can have if they tap into their abilities and stuff. And that's why they don't want us to have abilities and learn how to do this stuff on our own.
You think Biden's astral projecting every night?
Maybe not him. Actually, well, because he has dementia, he might even be on that plane like a lot more than we think he is, because he doesn't know what's going on.
Yikes. That's crazy. He's living in a different dimension. Yeah, that's why we don't get him. That's why we don't understand him, because he's so far beyond our comprehension. He's freaking three steps ahead of us.
Not in a good way, but like because he can't communicate with us anymore. But it's like usually the way I see it is if you're not fully in your consciousness, you're on the other side, because where your consciousness doesn't die, in my opinion, at least. And that's my belief and my experience just having these experiences. So his consciousness isn't in his body all the time. So where is it? It's on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that would put him in line there with, again, that shaman class of people who are able to interact with the other side. And yeah, I never thought I'd be talking about this on the show, but and the whole concept of people with schizophrenia and how they're able to, and that's the thing. I know a schizophrenic. I've never talked to the person about their experiences, but I've heard through a third party that's talked to them about their experiences, and he says that these entities show him a screen in his head. So in his head, they'll show him a screen, and on the screen, it's playing different memories, and they're teaching him things. And then the other person that was talking to him, they're like, well, but is it stuff that you already know? Is it stuff of like your childhood that you would already know? Is it information that you wouldn't otherwise have access to?
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, because that'd be mind blowing if you're being taught things like, you know, like how John Dee was looking for the secrets of the reality with these entities that he called angels, but in my opinion were, and I don't want to call them demons,
like
either.
Demons, but, or like lower level, like not as higher vibrational beings or something.
The reason I say that is because they were very trickster in nature. They were very, and that's how gullible he was, where he wanted, that's how hungry he was for the knowledge, right? This esoteric occult knowledge of like, and they kept telling him like, hey, if you do this, we'll, you know, this next thing will reveal the secrets. We'll give you the secrets. And it's like, all right.
They never gave it to him.
Collect soil samples from these 10 different areas. And they'd go and collect the soil samples. All right, what's next? Okay, well, now we have to move to Prague. And now you're going to have to go and tell Rudolph II that he's actually possessed by demons. And then once you do that, then we'll tell you the secrets. And it's like, all right. And they did that. They went. And they stood in front of the Holy Roman Emperor, one of the most powerful men of his time, who the only thing that saved them was that he was highly, highly, highly steeped into the occult and alchemy. And they're like, good. Hey,
I guess
the angels told us that you're possessed and you got to give in to this new.
Was he possessed?
Was Rudolph II possessed? Probably. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, that would make sense.
Probably. Who knows? I mean, I think that a lot of, right. One of the interesting aspects of Monroe that I want to talk about as well, that aligns with, because you mentioned that he was teaching in these other schools, right? In this other dimension. And one of my favorite episodes that I've ever done, it wasn't on this show, it was the Occult Book Club. The book that, in my opinion, I think it was, we stumbled across A Sword of Grimoire.
Whoa.
Thomas and I have, it's the only existing YouTube video on the subject, on the book. We're the only ones that have it. It's the Voyage to World of Cartesius. And essentially what it was is a story about this.
Allegedly.
The story about this guy who is guided and learns the secret that allegedly, and I want to say that Descartes also died of pneumonia. Descartes, for those people that want to correct me and they email me, you're saying it wrong. Well, whatever, who cares? So Descartes, cause of death, pneumonia.
That's really weird. What is with that?
Pneumonia.
Is that, and also if that person that channeled, I don't remember the name of her now again.
Kim Porter?
Kim Porter. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know why I can't remember that name very well. If she was right, what if they were taking out these people somehow and it make they have a way to make them look like they have pneumonia?
Yeah, I mean, that's the story that, and allegedly what led to the death of Descartes, that had discovered the secret of how to project your soul out of your body. And that was what he, in this story, this character, this main character, was revealed the secrets on how to do that. And essentially what happened was Descartes had astral projected, and when he astral projected his body, they would go to these other worlds, and in these other worlds there was famous philosophers like Plato or any other philosopher, and they all had their own schools in this other realm, and they were traveling to these other realms.
That's so cool because that's like what happened.
Exactly. And back here in this realm is where it gets interesting, because you talked about having like a mentor or a watcher watching over you as you were in this other realm.
Yeah.
Well, part of the deal was what I've dubbed the little black homunculi, where you would have to give up your body to a watcher while you were outside of your body, and this watcher would inhabit your body, right? This what they call little black Moor is how they called it in the story, would
My
inhabit
gosh.
your body, and he would do the bare minimum for you. He would brush your teeth, comb your hair, do all this other stuff, right? Keep you alive, right? Going around, very NPC like. They have one flaw though. Well, they have two. Number one, you can't have a deep conversation with it. So it short circuits and it goes out. And allegedly, Descartes was away for a few weeks, and somebody knocked on his door while he was in, while the little watcher was in his body. And then allegedly they bled him too much because they were trying to get him. He was sick,
Oh,
and the whole
okay.
story.
Yeah.
And that's how he died, essentially, because he had this little thing and it couldn't really speak for itself. Then the other thing about these little watchers, it right, because it ties into what you're saying, that I think that we all project astrally or go to different places. That's why maybe you have dreams or memories that you wouldn't otherwise remember, because you're possessing somebody else's body, similar to how Monroe was talking about in
Yeah.
this story, in this book. One of the things about these little watchers is that sometimes when they inhabit your body, they like it a little bit too much, and when you go to get back into your body, they're like, I'm not leaving, and it hijacks your body.
Oh
And I
my God.
mean, what if that's what
Is
dementia is,
happening.
or like anything like that we attribute, because back then they would attribute the magic to diseases.
Yeah, and all of those, it is interesting because all of these people, like in power or whatever, a lot of them have Alzheimer's, dementia, like a lot of them, when they're getting older, are having all these problems. And you're like, I'm wondering if it's because of this decay of their spiritual decay, basically. You can't just make these deals without having to pay a price type thing. And
Well,
so in my, I think it could be something like that. I don't think that everyone that astral projects or whatever that happens to, but I think if you're trying to get too much from the deal or get like talk to entities that are not good, that aren't like, like aren't your higher self, aren't Jesus, aren't like people that are, I believe in Jesus, aren't people or beings that are of the light and good, true and beautiful and all of that, that you would, they tend to require some sort of price that you have to pay.
yeah, it's always a price you have to give, and a piece of yourself. And I mean, that lines up with Monroe, where he talked about these entities. Because I always heard these stories about Monroe, seeing these reptilian-like entities on another realm, and mining loosh off of people, and draining them of their power, and all this. And I never understood where the hell that came from. I'm like, man, I'm reading the Gateway Experience, I'm not seeing that on there. And then that was when Joe was like, dude, that's in the book Journeys Out of the Body. And I was like, what? And that's what got me interested in the book. But he talks about essentially these parasitic entities that when you're out there can attach themselves to you. And they're always very sexual in nature, right? He always talks about that sexual urge that you have when you're in this other realm of like, you know, it's like, I want to do stuff and it's wrong, right? Because he was married. And you know, there's the part where he's like, where they're zapping each other. And it's like sexual and they're like laughing and all this other stuff like that.
And but, I don't think it is sexual. I think because we're humans, that's how we interpret it. But I think that also like in the lower astral realm, I think that's where he was talking about most of this happens, where he tries to get out of that area fast, because in the lower astral realm is these like heavier, more negative energies. And then when you go like get out of that, the people or beings there are more likely to not be like that.
Yeah, that's where all the Diddy freak off parties probably happen, in this lower astral realm that they were doing.
And he mentioned like people that are not awake, like they're on drugs, they're probably, or like they passed out drunk or stuff like that. Like you're not actually in your body, but you're not aware of where you are either in the astral. So like that's pretty dangerous,
because again, that opens you up to demonic possession. And that's why a lot of people who drink, they're exposing the wine and spirits, and you're essentially ingesting these spirits into your body, and you are another person. I mean, my wife always tells me that she likes the drunk me because I'm super nice and loving and and I'm high vibrational, right? But you have people who are super, super nasty and mean when they are intoxicated, almost as if they're a different person or entity.
And that's happened to me, where sometimes I would get so angry when I drank too much, not all the time, but just randomly. And I'm wondering, like, I didn't know what was going on, but it felt like it wasn't me. And that's what I don't like about drinking. I don't really drink anymore because of all of that, like learning about all of this. And I'm just trying to be more intentional with like how I spend my time and use my energy now, because I don't want a chance. When you're exploring these things, you have to be more careful, because you know what's going on now. So you have a responsibility kind of to guard yourself more, because you're aware now. And before you weren't, so maybe you're more protected, you get a pass. I don't know if you do get a pass, but it seems like you could be more protected. But once you're aware, that kind of goes away a little bit more, because you have a responsibility to yourself at that point.
Yeah, and in Dante's Inferno, right, Dante, the one thing that they would always use was like, oh, what are you doing here, whenever they would ask him, well, you know, why are you here? And he'd always say, you know, I'm here by the orders of God, right? So it was always from high above, and they would just leave him alone, like, oh, okay, yeah. He's working for the big guy upstairs, you know, he's on a secret mission or whatever. But that was it. And maybe that's the message here. Shroud yourself in the light, right? Because a lot of people who have these out of body or at least sleep paralysis, I've heard this over and over again, where they say the name of Jesus and these things just disappear, or they feel something taking them over and they just say the name of Jesus Christ and it disappears. You know, is that a mantra? I've speculated, is that name so charged with the blood of all the people who have died for that martyr, that name, that it's more powerful than anything else and it surpasses everything else, right? I mean, that's a speculation as to why is it powerful?
Why it's so powerful, yeah. I've been wondering that too, because I do believe that Jesus as a being existed. I don't know, like, if our whole story and like concept of it is necessarily 100%, but there's some sort of consciousness that exists that is like that. It could be like, what is it? There's like seven sages and all, like, you know, from the other cultures, I feel like somehow all of them come together, and it's probably Jesus or a sage or like something that
the council.
I don't know. Yeah, like a council. I feel like it's we can put all the religions together and they have a lot of commonalities. We just
100%
don't see it sometimes. But for me, I had a sleep paralysis experience where it was, I guess you could call it a psychic attack or something like that, because this is when I was first learning dreaming and I was focusing a lot of intention on it. And I had this paralysis episode, but I also knew there was something in the room with me, and it wasn't just like sleep paralysis that I had before. It did feel different. And then I was able to get up somehow in my astral body. I wasn't in my physical body when I got up, and I was able to finally, because I was trying to speak and I couldn't speak, and I was able to say, in Jesus's name, get out of here. And then everything, like the thing left, and everything was like okay after that. And then I woke up. So I don't know, it worked for me. And I don't know if in my mind that wasn't just like me entering or leaving my body. I felt like there was really something happening, but like maybe whatever it was, the saying Jesus's name did work. So
yeah. And another movie that you have to watch is the, and I think I said this on the last episode I did, but whatever, who cares? The Homunculus movie. Okay. So you have to watch Dream Scenario and you have to watch Homunculus. Homunculus is on Netflix. And
okay,
it made me think of when Monroe was talking about these things that attach themselves to people, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
There was also the one that really stood out to me that we talked about on the stream, twitch.tv/101podcast every Tuesday night. The guy who wanted to, the entity that wanted to reincarnate so that he could essentially grape the love of his life, I think it was. Like, he had this like unquenchable thirst to have relations with her again.
Yeah.
And he told Monroe about that. And in the movie Homunculus, the way that this is like similar in nature is that all of people's deepest, darkest traumas are attached to their astral half, their true self.
Yeah.
And they kind of sort, but only those who can see, and the main character is able to see it after a certain thing, which you'll find out. And then he's able to do something with them. But everyone's walking around with these things, like their most embarrassing, darkest secrets are with them in this astral form. And only, again, only those that can see in the astral form are able to see, like, oh, this dude has this weird thing, this weird fetish. There's a guy who has a weird fetish, this weird fetish. And it's interesting because fetish means the dwelling place of a spirit or entity.
Oh, okay.
That was That's the original. That was the original meaning of fetish. And then in the 19th century, they switched it over to the psychosexual, which, in my opinion, might have something to do with that, of like these darker aspects of yourself. Are they
like your shadow side, basically?
Yeah. Are they like, yeah,
dealt with yet?
And these are the homunculi in this movie. The stuff, the parasites that attach themselves to the people are the homunculus.
Yeah, I've heard this before, where there's some entities in the astral that might be like parts of you, even, that you haven't integrated yet, that you're seeing it as like a different entity or something, but it's actually you. And then, you know, you end up like fighting it, or you figure out what to do with it. Somehow you figure what you're supposed to do next, and then it goes away. So I've heard people, like stories about people talking about that too, where they've seen, they thought it was like an entity that was not related to them at all, but it's something they kind of created, basically, as a representation of their more like darker things inside of them, or things they're trying to get rid of, or whatever it may be.
Yeah, like an egregore or a tulpa or a thought form.
Yeah. And because in the astral, you can like manifest really quickly because time is not linear. I like, you can kind of create anything in there. And if you're not, that's why I think part of doing this type of stuff is being, trying to heal yourself too, and being more conscious of what your unconscious is trying to tell you, what your shadow side even is, because you might be like not sure how to deal with it when you get into the astral realm and you're then trying to deal with it. I feel like it might be easier in some way to deal with it there, just because things, you can see it, it's manifested there, and it's easier to talk, it's easier to understand your full self there, but it also could be really scary. So it just depends on how you want to go about it.
And maybe this is why in The Matrix, right, the movie that everyone always referenced, like, oh, The Matrix, you know, Neo and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And where the hell did Morpheus get the pills from? Like, you never asked him that. Like, you know, where the hell did you get these? What happens if I take both of them? But being asleep,
that would be good to know what happens when you take both.
Don't take drugs from strangers. You know what I'm saying? Like, the dreaming aspect or the being asleep aspect is very important for their entire thing to work, for the machine's thing to work, right? They need to be asleep in these pods and not understand that their reality is actually all been fabricated by these, you know, this cabal. And it's interesting to me that the Wachowski, whatever, who cares? Yeah. The brothers couldn't escape the Matrix, and they turn into the Wachowski sisters. You know?
Yeah. I'm like, what? To me, that was like not a psyop, but maybe, who knows? Like, what? I just don't understand how that happens, you know?
Yeah, because you're literally writing this movie about, you know, escaping this reality, yet you give in to what this
reality is like trying to tell us to do right now.
It's like a parody in some sort of sick way. I almost wonder, you know, people always talk about, oh, it's a humiliation ritual that they're going through. It's like, I wonder if they were made to do that. Like, hey, listen, how you were saying, like, if you go to this other place, you give up a piece of yourself. Well, we're going to allow you to put this out, and it's going to resonate with as many people as it resonates with. And there is an entire Matrix defense because of people who literally murdered their entire families because they believe that they were Neo in the Matrix. And what does to the zeitgeist, or what that does to the collective. But now you got to do this for us.
Yeah, that would make sense, because first off, like, they somehow got so high up in that system. And in my mind, it's like, I don't see how you do that without having to pay something at some point or do something for that, you know? And maybe you didn't like understand fully what you were getting yourself into or whatever, but that would make sense that it's kind of like, now they had to like pay it back.
I don't think anybody knows what they're getting themselves into when it comes to these entities, right? Similar to, back again to the story of John Dee.
Yeah.
He went as far as to, you know, the infamous wife swap, or like the angels, they want us to share everything. He's like, what are you talking about? Everything, including, and then allegedly they did it, right? And that was like that was the straw that broke the camel's back in that story, because everything kind of sort of fell apart from that. And there's the conspiracy that John Dee actually raised the child that came from that night, because she got pregnant after the fact. Yeah. And I guess, you know, people speculate that he knew that it was actually Edward Kelly's, you know, offspring, and he didn't care. But it's like, that's how far some people are willing to go to satisfy this Faustian complex.
And it's weird. Didn't that happen with the guy that started Scientology and Edward?
Jack Parsons.
Yeah, Jack Parsons. Sorry, not Edward Parsons. Jack Parsons. And who's the guy that started Scientology?
L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah, L. Ron Hubbard. Like, that's weird, because that sounds exactly like the same thing that happened there.
Oh yeah, it did. He L. Ron Hubbard stole his girlfriend, or his wife at the time, his first wife, and took off with her and his money and some of his boats that they had invested in. And so Absolutely. It's interesting how history will repeat itself.
Repeat itself, yeah.
And it was guys that were using the same Enochian that John Dee and Edward Kelly were also messing with. Yeah. So, you know, I just find it interesting. But
maybe they were guided from the angels to do that too.
He believed, you know, Jack Parsons believed that he was saving humanity by manifesting the Whore of Babylon into this dimension to even out the energies in this dimension. So, and that's the thing. To these guys, they're doing the right thing.
Yeah. So they think that because everything's about being balanced or something like that, that we need to have dark to have light or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that's the justification for what they're doing.
Yeah, and you have entire sects of religious organizations that also believe in redemption through sin. So,
yeah,
there's nothing too dark that they won't do. But,
and I mean, I kind of see some, not to that extent, but I'm just saying, like, we wouldn't really understand what goodness is without evil. But it's like, I think it's just because we live in this third dimension where it's like we learn through experience here, and if we didn't have those two like polar opposites, we wouldn't learn anything. And that's why people reincarnate here supposedly, is because allegedly because you can get more experience, like experience here. And Monroe was talking about, I don't know if he talked about that in his first book or not, but in one of his books he talks about, you know, more about the reincarnation and cycle and like how people want to come here so that they are in an accelerated learning situation, basically.
Have you read all three books?
Yeah.
So, yeah, what I was gonna say was that these guys, these people, similar to what I feel like Monroe was trying to do as well, was that he was looking beyond himself for knowledge of something.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to get us off topic.
You're good. And you know, again, it goes back to like, how far are you willing to go? Well, here you have this guy risking his sanity, risking, even got to the point where his daughters would be like, Dad, if you're in here, we're about to change. Like, you know, like that he conditioned his entire family to think this certain type of way, and they knew what he was doing, which is kind of weird too. You know, it's like, but he was looking. I haven't read the other books. I've only read the first one or listened to it on Audible. You know, about pretty much, to me, it's looking for some sort of knowledge of something outside yourself and going far away from this reality, or trying to transcend this reality. Because I believe it was, I don't know if it was Monroe that talked about this, but I've heard this over and over again, where how we have a watcher, allegedly, right? There's this cord that once you sever it, there's no coming back.
Yeah. And that's just I mean, that's like your astral body wouldn't be attached to your physical body anymore. And so that's just what dying is. But I don't know how your cord would get severed unless you died in the physical world. So I'm not sure. Like, it's like a chicken egg situation. Like, where is the actual death like occurring? And you're not dead. Like, you're from what I believe, at least, your soul lives on. So you would just be, you would come back here eventually, or somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. After you learned, you know, I think there's like a waiting period where you, like, I believe from what I've understood and read and like heard about, is there's like some waiting period that you go through kind of to rest and like recharge, and then you kind of are dealing with your card, like seeing everything that happened, and then I guess that's the life review that people talk about, and then you're kind of like, Monroe goes and talks about a lot of this stuff in his other books, where you get to, you figure out where you want to go next and if it's going to be into this plane of existence. But I think you kind of get stuck in a reincarnation cycle on this plane of existence because your experiences in order to go and release karma that you gained here, you have to have experiences here again, because you can't get experiences like here in mm-hmm. other places. So it's like a reincarnation trap is what some people call it.
It's like the, cosmic casino, essentially, is what it is. And you just rack up as much money as you can, or lose as much money as you can. And I've read in various occult literature that the occultists that aren't able to cross the abyss, essentially, they lose their minds. And that's part of it, like where they're sent hurling backwards through time is what they call it, and it evolves their mind to this pre-preternatural or something like that. Anyways, they go hurling back in time, and I've even heard Kenneth Grant talk about, like, this is where the concept of the lycanthrope, the magical lycanthrope, comes from. And it's like, it makes you think of all throughout history, how many people talk about werewolves, and it's like, what were they, actually wolves, or were they acting like wolves, or was it a combination of both? Of once you, right, because you kicked your dog, and it's interesting, or you think you kicked your dog, but it's interesting that he told you that. But the connotations of dog backwards is God, you know, and then the whole concept of, again, this is, I'm not saying that God is a dog, but there's something there to be said, right? And then you have the dog star and the occult connection to
you haven't read the second or third book yet, right?
No,
I don't want to spoil it, because there's like so much stuff in there that goes into more of this, like where we're from, how there's maybe people from that reincarnated here from other, I don't want to say planets, but like, you know, different dimensions of the astral realm that we might say are other planets, like where aliens come from or whatever. And he, I'm not going to spoil it, but it's really good.
What I'll do is I'll read the other books.
Okay.
And then we'll get back together and maybe have Joe on with us who goes heavily into.
It would be great to meet him. Actually, I remember seeing him on, I think it was Sam Tripoli's spirit. He used to have a spiritual podcast, Zero. He was on that, I think, talking about Robert Monroe. And I think that might have even been in my consciousness at some point, about how, because he was saying he was reading his books and then he was able to have an out-of-body experience. And I was like, oh, I want to read these books. Robert Monroe kept coming up to me synchronistically, and that's why I ended up like exploring all of this stuff. And seeing him on Sam's show was like one of the ways how it kind of popped into my life. And I feel like just even knowing that he was reading the books and then he had an out-of-body experience kind of opened up my mind to the possibility that that can happen.
Yeah,
and then it happened for me. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, he's heavy into all of that, and he talks about it a lot. And I think there's something to it. I think that there is something to it. And maybe perhaps I'll even throw this idea out there, that once you come into contact with the knowledge that's in these books, I think that information is a sort of parasite. So maybe by reading about it or hearing about it, you've been infected by this information or informational entity, as I've called them before. And that's what allows you to experience these things, because there's so much more to reality that I think it's a lot more interesting than we've been led to believe. And you're going to have, again, the people who, you know, this is all bullshit. Well, maybe because you haven't experienced it, right? It's bullshit to you until you experience it, right?
Yeah, so people do. I mean, I've tried to talk to other, like, normal people, I guess you would call them, about this type of stuff. And they're like, what? You're crazy. What are you talking about? You're not going anywhere. You're not talking to other beings. You're not like seeing your past lives. I've had those types of experiences too in my dreams, but I think it's more like astral experiences, or maybe you're just going, I don't know how the past life, how you, I would see the past life, so it's probably more being shown to me is what I'm understanding from that, because I wasn't really like experiencing it, but in one or two of them I experienced it. So, sorry, this is a lot to add on, but that's happened to me too. And when you start talking about that, people just think that you're crazy. So,
and it might be like Inception, right? Dreams within dreams, and you know, you're able to essentially get lost in them. And
I mean, I've had that happen too, where it's like you are in a dream and then you wake up and you think you're awake and everything feels real. You get up, you go do something, and then you go back to lay down and you actually wake up. And that's like an astral experience too, but you would be like on the 3D.
Yeah, I've had that happen 3D too.
3D reality. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that they put these movies out there because, again, how I mentioned at the beginning, these are reoccurring themes throughout a lot of cultures, a lot of religions since the beginning of time. I mean, there was dream incubation during, right, the Greeks. They had temples that were just dedicated to, right, Morpheus, God. He's the god of, Morpheus is the god of dreams and the messenger of the gods. So,
yeah, that's crazy. And that's like why I'm like, the Matrix seems like
super, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like they got the information from somewhere and then now they're paying the price, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Again, and that's the price you pay by coming into contact with this information.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's always the information or if it's who you're getting the information from or like what beings you're in contact with, because like for me, I don't talk to beings that I don't know are, you know,
how do you know you're not dreaming right now and this is actually a podcast in the astral realm?
I mean, that would be cool if it was. Then I would know though, because I know that I'm awake. Like, I know the difference between dreaming and being awake, but I've never really thought of, you know, when you have a psychedelic experience and then you think it's gonna last forever and you're like, how am I gonna go back to reality? Like, I always like thinking about that when I am in real life and thinking, what if this is a psychedelic experience or what if I'm dreaming? It kind of trips you out when you do that.
Let me read this quote before we get out of here.
Okay.
Let's see here. Is our reality, let me find it here. There's a quote by this, who cares? This neuroscientist, Anil Seth, he talks about how reality is the hallucination we all agree on. So,
yeah.
Right? People who see it differently, we call them crazy, but they might be tapping into something else. But we're all collectively hallucinating all at the same time. But it's what we all agree upon that is reality, and it's accepted, right? So yeah. Are you the same person who woke up last night from your dream? Did you lose a little piece of yourself? Did that little piece become, you know, one of these homunculus somewhere and attach itself to somebody else? And maybe that's what activates synchronicities, right, with people? Like, who knows? I mean, it's
interesting, yeah, to think and, about. And it's your reality is like you said, what we all agree on. And that's why like money works and things like that, because we all agreed that it has value. But
in government, yeah.
When we become like, you know, able to do things like this, then we can show other people that they are able to too. And I feel like that can create like a new reality where we are able to access more of who we actually are. And like what people can do that when we're not, you know, limited by our belief systems, basically.
Our reality tunnels. Absolutely.
Yeah, basically. And I think that's what Robert Monroe was somewhat trying to do, and why I feel like called to teach this to people, and why probably Joe feels called to talk about this stuff and help people. And I just feel like it will help people. Robert Monroe talked about how he had seen people get stuck and how they weren't moving. Like when they died, they got stuck in their belief systems, and it was took them, they were there for like thousands of years in like human time, because they weren't able to, or I mean, I'm sorry, earth time, not human time, but they weren't able to get out of it. And it just helping people realize they're more than their physical bodies, not to be scared of death, at least trying not to be. It's easier said than done, but you know, just knowing all of this stuff, I think will help people. So that's what I care about.
And Ashley, where can people go to find you? And if they want to learn, we'll focus more on the dream programming on the next episode when we get together after I read these two books and talk more about that. Where can people find you?
So if you go to my Instagram, it's AGBATYKO. All of my links are like in my link tree. I have a Calendly where I also do like tarot readings for people, and I'm trying to help people like find their spirituality and grow in understanding themselves spiritually. So I do tarot readings and stuff like that too. So my Calendly is calendly.com/illuminedjourney. It's spelled ILLUMINED and then journey. And my links for my dream course will also be in Linktree when I'm going to probably launch that in the next month. So,
yeah, if you haven't sent me your links, this will be out in a couple of weeks. So send me your links and I'll post them in the description. That way people can click on them and go directly there and check you out. But I really did enjoy our conversation today.
Yeah, and me too.
They'll be seeing more of you once again. I get up to par with the other books. Yeah, thank you for not spoiling them. Watch those movies, Dream Scenario and Homunculus.
Okay, and I'll definitely watch that. Yeah,
I promise you it'll open up your mind to other things. And yeah, as always, everyone, make sure to follow the show at the 101 Podcast, tjojp.com, twitch.tv/101podcast, streaming every Tuesday night. And also on the 101 Media YouTube channel. So make sure to catch me on there. And as always, everyone, catch you on the other side. Maybe the Astral Realm or wherever the hell else.
Yeah, thank you.